This is all of chapter 17. Last week we covered all of chapter 16. This is a hard one. I'll tell you, the teachers that will be listening to this later, this is hard because it talks about circumcision. So I'll give you some tips on it. But a couple of main things here that happen are that Abram and Sarai are renamed. Okay, so let's just go down the list. I'm not even going to read the passage because of the sake of time. I kind of rambled on and told you about binary numbers, which I'm sure you'll be able to take home and use every day. So verse number one is the first part of it. This is a big thing, is the timing. The timing. It's notice here, how old is Abram? He's 99. The previous chapter says he was 86 when Ishmael was born. And you're like, okay, so what? Well, think about it. What did Sarai and Abram do 13 years ago? They tried to make God's promise happen, right? Here's Hagar. Take her, have a baby. Oh, now you wrecked it. Why did you do that? Right? Remember last week? How long has passed? 13 years. Now, let's just go to the next one here. But I want you to think about this, because as far as we know, God said nothing for 13 years. And so, what do I call it here? I said God appears. You know, after 13 years, God shows up again. There's nothing to indicate that there's ongoing communication, right? So you have two things here. Do I have dots? Or I guess they're just dots. But I call it this. There's a faith walk. Okay? Abram is continuing to have to dwell and just do the daily dailies and the weekly weeklies and the monthly monthlies and the yearly yearlies for how long? And by the way, he was at least around 75 when God initially tapped on his shoulder, right? So we're talking 24 years. And what is he constantly going back to? God says, you're going to have lots of kids and you're going to be great. And oh, look at the stars and all that. And he looks around. What does he have? Now he has Ishmael, and that was a bad choice. Because God said it isn't him. It's a faith walk. What I want to impress on you, tied in with the timing, is that our time is not God's time. And much, if not most of life, is doing what you know God wants you to do without necessarily seeing results. Maybe that you want. That doesn't mean you aren't growing, you aren't changing, all that. But do you realize in Hebrews it says that Abraham and Isaac and even Jacob never saw the result of God's promise in its full form, right? Okay? So our walk needs to be similar to Abraham's. We just believe what God says. Because does God tell us everything? That's good and bad, right? But don't you sometimes wish God, you could ask him specific questions? Don't tell me everything, God, because I don't even know if I want to hear it all. I don't want to know what I'm going to, the next hard thing I'm going to go through. But can you be a little more precise on this? Tell me stuff that'll make my life easy, right? Could have saved a trip to Iowa City yesterday. Could have saved the trip. You know, could have done something real more exciting, like stay home and watch the grass grow or something, like that. Okay, but God doesn't do that. It's a faith walk. He wants you to walk in faith. And here's 13 years after the first 12 years. Is that right? No, he's actually. Yeah, roughly 23 years after God tapped him on the shoulder, and really nothing to show for it. He's grown big, sounds like, in numbers as far as his servants. Now, remember, he had 314 trained servants, I think in Genesis 14, where he went and rescued Lot. And now he has Ishmael, but there's nothing else. And I just want to encourage you that faith, the faith walk is, by and large, learning what God has told you and doing that on a daily basis. And you don't get a bell that rings, you know, I got out of bed. No one's applauding. You know, I went to work. I made dinner. You know, no one, woo, here's another button, you know, for doing the daily task. Okay? It's just doing what God wants in a faithful way. Okay? Now, this, not to confuse you, but it's absolutely what it looks like. It's a faith walk. I just want to emphasize the two. One is believing God, and the other is behaving the way God wants. It's the right belief with the right behavior. And Abraham, as faulty as he was, that's what he did. He just, today I'm going to live for God today. Even if God doesn't knock on my door, I'm going to live for God today. And even though I have no idea how I'm going to be the father of many nations, because so far the only thing that happened, I broke. I was going outside of the bounds. I didn't bother to ask God, and Ishmael's here. Okay? It's just doing what's right every day, believing and behaving. That's the Christian walk. Okay? We live by faith. We don't live by all the results that happen. You might do everything right and everything wrong happens to you. Have you been there? Okay, some days, some weeks, some years, you think, that describes my life, you know? Well, maybe that's it. But you have to believe what God says and walk there. And God takes what He gives you and makes what He wants of it. And it's our job to believe and behave, regardless of what we see as a result. Okay, and Abram was there 13 years after Ishmael's born. What has happened? Nothing different. No change. Okay? Number three. Covenant detail. Now, God all of a sudden shows up. It says, the Lord appeared. I'm reading to the left of number two here. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. God's same tune. 13 years later, okay? Now, number three, God goes into detail. The covenant detail of seed. And we're using terms that you will see with regard to the Abrahamic covenant. There's three parts. And it depends on the order, but they usually say these differently. We'll see these two. Seed. I'll make you a multitude. Land. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So seed, land, and blessing are three components. God goes into more detail on the first two in this chapter today. Okay? I don't know why, but I always hear it as land, seed, and blessing. Maybe that's where it started. Get yourself out of the country to a land I'll show you, because it's usually land, seed, and blessing is what I hear the order in. So he goes into detail in seed. Now look at your notes here, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Notice I've put a box around every place the word covenant shows up, because that is the emphasis here, okay? God says this, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him. Again, 13 years, and then God shows up Abram, all he does is fall on his face and in an act of worship. God keeps talking in verse 4, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram," which means father of many, right? He's right now the father of
one,
and that was the wrong choice, okay, from a human standpoint. "But your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." There's six bullet points plus an extra definition there. So let's just go down them quickly, okay? I'm going to write them off to the side, and then I'll delete them. That's a computer term. I'll erase them, okay? But the covenant detail with seed. Notice here it's between Abraham and God. Okay, he says, between me and you, and my verse 2 and then verse 4, my covenant is with you. So seed has to do with Abram. Okay? Directly here. The second thing, Abram, what he says is he will multiply exceedingly. We've talked about this before, but God cannot do that unless he's the controller of conception. And by the way, he says this not to scare Abram, but to bless Abram. Okay? He says, this is a good thing. I'll multiply you exceedingly. That God has to be in control of the conception process for that to happen. He can't promise what he cannot control. Abram will be the father of many nations. Abram is renamed, what's his new name?
Abraham.
Okay, that's what we're going to write there. Abraham. What's that mean? Father of, not father of many, as if that was bad enough for 86 years, yeah. Father of a multitude. It's like father of many is like a father of a lot. It's like father, Abraham is like father of a huge pile of people. Okay, how many kids do you have again? One. Okay, so he goes, how old is this guy? I'm just making sure you caught that. Most of us will not live to 99. God is promising a 99-year-old man that he'll be a father of a multitude. And he has one child so far. He goes on to say, Abram, I will make you exceedingly, and I put that down again. God just kind of goes, bends over backwards to know, I'm going to make you, multiply you exceedingly, and I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. Again, he's restating it. One is how many children you're going to have, descendants, not just children. And the other is what's the process? It's not through adoption. Okay? You're going to, you and your descendants are going to bear these children. Okay? The last one, I just put them together, is nations and kings will come from you. Okay, so that's just breaking it down. So God gives, he reiterates and goes into maybe a little more detail with regard to Abraham. And just so you know, I'm going to rename you because, no, it's that big. I'm talking about that many. So no longer are we going to talk about Abram. We're going to talk about Abraham now because God has promised him to be a father of a multitude. Not just many, a multitude. Okay? The next point, point number 4, is covenant detail, and I call it land. Okay? So we said there's land, seed, and blessing, or seed, land, and blessing. God goes into more detail with regard to the land. Verse 7, he says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Okay, 4 points here. I'll write them to the side here. Who's this between this time? By the word is between. This time it's God, Abraham, and the descendants. I don't fully understand because the seed, you know, he's Abram, you'll be the father of a multitude. Not everyone that descends from you will have lots of kids. But overall, it'll be a big number. So I can understand that maybe. The land part is he lists the descendants specifically twice here, okay? I bolded a word. Did you catch that there? It's there twice in that section. Everlasting. Have I hammered in enough about dispensationalism yet? Dispensationalism says that God will keep his promises to Abraham. I'm going to call him Abe and Israel. Okay? Now, I understand that there's spiritual descendants in a sense, and there's physical, but this is a very physical. He's talking about his physical descendants. God, it's an everlasting covenant, not a conditional one. Remember, 2 weeks ago we talked about the conditional covenant where God walks in between the animals, the split animals, without having Abraham go through them, because it's a one-sided, unconditional, God will keep it covenant. Now, that doesn't mean Israel can't goof things up or whatever along the way. God says if you do these things, I'll bless you. If you don't do these things, I'll curse you. Okay? But the promises remain. They'll just be put off. Okay? So that's part of it. That God's promises to Israel are to Israel. And God's promises to Abraham and to David. We haven't got into all of that yet, but the Davidic covenant says, no, it'll be from your line, David, that you will have someone on your throne for eternity. Okay? So, and God really meant that. So, but that's what part of it is. It's an eternal covenant, everlasting covenant. Notice here's the land of Canaan. Now that, it says Canaan here. He described it another place as being from the river on the east, Euphrates, to the west, and the river. So if that's Canaan or not, in the official sense, or if it's just talking about one specific place without giving all the detail. But notice here it says everlasting covenant and an everlasting possession. Do you get that? Again, have I mentioned about dispensational? Yeah, I did, didn't I? Right? Twice, everlasting covenant, everlasting possession. Unless God changes the meaning of everlasting, it's kind of hard to get out of that. Okay? This is under number 4. And there's between everlasting, land of Canaan, and everlasting again. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can get more confusing. Okay. So we're through number 4. Questions or comments so far through number 4? Okay, sorry. Yeah. Getting ahead of myself. I need to drink coffee. That's what I need to do. Put it on my checklist. There we go. Questions or comments through number 4? God shows up 13 years later. Apparently nothing in between. After Ishmael's born, knocks on Abram's door again and says, hey, I'm Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And my covenant, let me talk about the seed again. And by the way, it's so big, Abram really doesn't cut it. Let me call you Abraham because that's more fitting. for what I'm promising, okay? Then he goes and talks about the land details of the covenant a little more. Again, it kind of God keeps kind of giving more detail and expanding and even just reiterating, repeating what he said. Okay, number five. You ready for number five? Number five is covenant sign. Now, this is the first time this shows up. The covenant sign, I'm going to write it right here because of space. Circumcision. The covenant sign is circumcision. All right, let me read verses 9 through 13. And that's right in your notes again. And notice the word covenant shows up six times, the word everlasting another time. Verse 9, and God said to Abraham, as for you, notice he's calling him Abraham now. As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you through their generations. Keep your covenant. What is that? Because it's an unconditional thing. Here's what I want you to do as a symbol of the covenant, basically. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So what is circumcision? It's a sign of the covenant. It doesn't violate the covenant. It's like a sign. Okay, it is a sign. Verse 12, he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised with, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. So anyone, slave or free, in your household. He who was born in your house and he who was bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And this uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Okay? If you don't want to do that, that basic symbol, then you don't want to follow me at all. This is how God would interpret it. Okay, let's go down the list. I'll try and just give you, I'll write them down, I guess, though. Verse 9, it's for Abraham and his descendants. We already looked at that. There's nothing to underline there. Verse 10, it's every born male, right? Circumcision relates to males. And we already said it's a sign. It's a sign. As a sign. This is the next one is 12A. I'm going to shut this door. 12A, I split 12 into a couple of spots here. When are you circumcised?
8 days.
8 days after birth, okay. So I call it the timing, okay? 8 days after you're born. So 12B to 13A is the next one here. The targets. We've already stated it once, but it restates it again. Every male that's born, okay? The targets. Who? Every male that's born going forward. 13B, it'll be for an everlasting covenant. So the word everlasting shows up again. We're putting it down there. And then number 14, what happens to a covenant breaker? Yeah, you're kicked out of the group, right? Okay, so covenant breaker treatment, I call it. So the breaker, covenant breaker. So circumcision, are we done with this part here to the left? Circumcision is a sign, comes in for the first time, whether or not it was practiced or not, is not really relevant. God just makes it part of the sign, okay? Part of the process here. Number six, changing gears for a little bit. God specifies Sarai as the mother. Now, this is new information, if I recall. Okay? God said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you, you're going to be the father of many nations. Boy, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be prolific. You're going to have lots of kids, lots of offspring. Look up in heaven. Look at this. And Abraham, trying to figure it out, I don't think he knew the details in the previous chapter because he tried to make it work a different way. And it's interesting, and I don't understand why, but God isn't bothered to tell him until he's 99. Why didn't he tell him when he's 75? Hey, you're going to have a child through Sarah. Wouldn't that have been a little easier? I think it would have. Kind of cleared the air a little bit. Okay. He waited until he was 99 years old. Sarah was how old at this point? 10 years younger, roughly. 89, right? He goes on to specify here, verse 16 or 15. Then God said to Abraham, calling him by his... God said to the father of a multitude, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I'm going to change her too. And I will bless her and also give you a son. Might want to underline, might want to circle, by her. Again, why does God not tell us everything we need? Because God wants us to walk by faith. He doesn't give you all the details all of the time. And sometimes the details come later. Have you noticed? Sometimes the details never come. Basically, the job of Abraham was to wait for God while he lived for God, right? I will give you a son by her, then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Might want to circle her. Okay? Verse 15, Sarah is renamed Sarah. The word Sarai meant princess. That's what I put there. I had to look up Sarah because I didn't know anyone. Me neither. Okay? It went from princess, which sounds pretty noble already. But it means noble woman, which I think is a, you know, you're going from a princess to nobility kind of thing, higher up or something, but it's a higher term, okay? Verse 16a, I have it in your notes. Sarah will be blessed. Sarah will have a son. So, not only a child, but the gender of the child. Sarah will be the mother of nations. Sarah will be, from her will come kings and peoples. Okay? So everything else is pretty much filled in there, right, for you? Questions? Coffee. Okay, moving on to verse 17. Abram's response? Yeah, that was in a nutshell. Abraham laughs. Okay. I hope I put it in there. You know, how old is Abraham? 99, Sarah's 89, and he just, Abraham laughs. And I put doubts there too, in parentheses, see that? Did you have a blank for doubts?
No.
Okay, no you don't. Doubts is already added there. So, Abraham laughs and doubts is in parentheses. Now, Abraham If he was texting, he would do this. R-O-F-L is what you need to put down there. If you text at all, I put the word on the side, but I don't text. When I text, I don't abbreviate. Because number one, I would probably abbreviate something that didn't mean what the abbreviation was. And I don't know the abbreviation. But when you text with the phone, it's R-O-F-L. Rolling on the floor laughing. And that's what I put in parentheses. I mean, he was like, we would call it busting a gut. It's like, God's a comedian now. Ah, you know, this is, oh, free show. Ah, oh, stop, stop, I can't take it. Oh, 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 it hurts. Okay, right? It says it, then Abraham fell on his face. Now, this doesn't seem like worship here. He fell on his face and what? Laughed. He's literally rolling on the floor laughing, it sounds like to me. As much as a 99-year-old guy can roll on the floor, ah, oh, I can't move, roll me over, I gotta laugh. Oh, what a, yeah, it was hard, you know. Go down soft is all I gotta say. Because, why is he laughing? He says, shall a child be born to a man? Who is 100 years old. Now, he's just anticipating it. They're not expecting it. So it'll be 100 years old. He's not lying, right? Because of his age, because of his age, which will be 100, if they started today, he's laughing because of how old he is. And Sarah, it says, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a son her age, and she'd be 90. Stop, stop, stop. I mean, it's not a lack of, there's doubt, but at the same time, it's just, we see things humanly. Yes? Hello? Is he being unreasonable? Abraham. Is he being in any way unfair? The only factor that's unusual is the God factor. Because 99-year-old men don't produce children, and neither do 89-year-old women. Oh, ooh. You know, stop. Okay? So Abraham's rolling on the floor laughing because of their ages. It just doesn't happen. And it's like, what, after 13 more years? Really? Okay. And then notice what Abraham says. It's a, God, let me fix this for you. I tried to do this 13 years ago. He says, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, he heard what God said. It just doesn't compute with him because it absolutely doesn't makes sense on a human level. Okay? Again, give Abraham the benefit of the doubt. It's Abram's expectation. Is that what I put? Yeah. He's just expecting that God, I know what you say. It's okay. You can use Ishmael. That's fine. I know we kind of, I can just see it. I know, you know, maybe we've bitten off more than we can chew. You know, promising a little too much. You know, you're only God. You know, or whatever. Right.
And
just to underline, underscore.
Right over his head. Because now he's dealing with God on a personal level, one to one, and God's giving him all this information, but who's he dealing with? God Almighty. Okay. You know, it's a natural thing. He's on the natural path.
We wrestle with that at all?
No.
Me neither. Let's move on. No application needed. If I wrestle with anything, it's putting God in my context with my limitations. No, not maybe a worldview. I'm thinking much more limited to my circumstances rather than the world. You know, it's like, God, there's no way you can do this. I think I would just help you out right now and just give you a few pointers about how to be God. Let me explain my circumstances once again. And I know it's been 10 years. Here, 13. How about Ishmael? How about God, me helping you out? Because we forget God's power, right? Almighty God, right? Back page. Then God said, no. Let me tell you again, and this time I'm going to use her new name, Sarah. Your wife will bear you a son. She will. How old is she? 89-ish, right? And you shall call his name Isaac. She will bear you a son. It's you two that will produce a child. And you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. Emphasizing him and his descendants. God goes back to this person again. God's clarification. Number 9, it's already there, right, in your notes? Is that right? Okay. Sarah will bear Abraham a son, right? We got that? A son. And the son will be named Isaac, which most of you know means what? Yeah, let's just call him Raffle. Well, let's rolling on the floor laughing. Well, that's too long. Let's just call him Laughter. Okay. Okay, so they call him Laughter. Here, how about this? How about God says this? Let's make it really funny. You can laugh every time you call his name. How about that? You just can remember Raffle every time you call to Isaac, right? So it means laughter. That's parentheses. Put it down here, the quotation marks. Thank you. And notice, too, Isaac will be the everlasting covenant. So there's the everlasting again. And I just want to bring this home. There's a couple more points. Number 10. God's blessing of Ishmael. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. Remember? Chapter 16. God told that to Hagar. I'll bless him. I'll make him a multitude, right? And I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget how many? 12 princes. He's 13 right now. God says he's going to have 12 sons. And I will make him a great nation. Ishmael, there's 5 points. God had blessed him. Blessed is past tense, because it was already something that he had done. I will make him fruitful. In other words, God had blessed him. He already promised that he would do that. I'll make him fruitful. I will multiply him exceedingly. Did you know God did all this for Ishmael? God doesn't work on our basis, does he? He will beget 12 princes. By the way, they're listed by name later on. It really happened. And God will make of him a great nation. Okay? Number 11, God's clarification of the covenant. Catch this. But my covenant, after I bless, I tell you what all I'm going to do for Ishmael, but my covenant I will establish with, help me out, Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time, set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So God's clarification of the covenant. The covenant will be established with Isaac, not Ishmael. The time of Ishmael's or Isaac's birth is told. This set time next year. Okay? It's going to happen. Now, the first time we get a timing, okay, of Isaac's birth. And God is gone again, I said. And the word there that you need to put is faith. God tells us things, we live by them. We're believing what God says, we're behaving what God says. That's the walk of faith. The last main point here is Abraham obeys the covenant sign. Let me read these. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day. As God had said to him, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, that's repeated twice. You might want to underline that. Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael. And all the men of his house, born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Here's the points off to the side. All in his house were circumcised. That's 23a. 23b, same day obedience. You see that in Abraham's life. God says something, he does it. We'll see it later when he goes to sacrifice Isaac. He gets up and goes. He doesn't delay, he obeys. Abraham's age at circumcision, 24, is 99. Ishmael's age at circumcision, 13. And then we just summarized there. Just a couple comments I won't read, other than maybe the headings here. I just want to tie it in. This comes up in the New Testament. Isaac, you hear the phrase, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's an official line of blessing. It wasn't through Ishmael, it was through Isaac. So God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I put verses there for that. Isaac is the son of promise, you hear that, not Ishmael. And you see verses to that effect. I'll read just one. Nor are they all children because they are seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. Okay, and I put stuff that relates to that. I would encourage you to just read these. Circumcision in today, there's huge amounts of stuff. Some people say baptism replaces circumcision. There's one huge kind of glaring strange thing with that, though. It's for everybody, not just the males. You know, so that's one. So, but there's verses underneath it that explain that. That circumcision is just was an outward sign to the Israelites, not to the believers. And as we understand it, and the Bible seems to uphold it, baptism is for those that have believed, where circumcision it could not be. Okay? Questions or comments? Is this good? Isn't this good stuff? I mean, this chapter, I see myself a lot more. You know, Abraham's not walking on water, nothing like that. And all of a sudden, he just, I see him as human, and I kind of relate to that.
You know, it's surprising that Abraham was so doubtful about this, because after all that God did for him through the battles, they would think he would know there isn't anything he can't do.
Right. But to give him credit, and I'm not in any way trying to argue with you, but in the same token, when you look across the street and you see some old person, you're not thinking, I wonder if they're pregnant.
No, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? You're like, you don't go to a nursing home looking for babies. I mean, it was that far out. Okay, and so And I was talking to Jane today about this. So it just says, why didn't God just tell him? Why did God wait? Why did all this? And all I can think of is, well, let me ask you this. What is even more amazing and profound? If an 86-year-old man has a child, or a 100-year-old man has a child? If a 75-year-old woman has a child, or a 90-year-old woman has a child? I mean, it just makes it that much more miraculous. I mean, it's amazing that they're alive. And yet they're having children. Okay? And again, it to me, it's like God waiting. Here's the Israelites on the Red Sea, and here's all the Egyptians coming. And God says, you know, and they're crying out, "No, he brought us here to die." And God obviously didn't bring him out to die. That was pretty low blow there, you know. But he goes, I want you to stand by and watch the salvation of the Lord. How about if I just make a path across the water? You know, and it's like, oh, and by the way, how about if I dry it out so you don't even get your feet wet? You know, is that okay? And by the way, he keeps pointing back to that. But God seems to wait at times until you know that it's only God that can do this. If there was any doubt that a 75-year-old woman could bear a child, it doesn't matter. Because I'll wait till she's 89. Right? That's almost kind of the way it is. So there's no doubt, and no one's ever seen that before. It's never happened. By the way, Abraham doubted, but then he acted on what God said. I mean, it isn't like he wasn't struggling with doubt, but he just took the next step. God said, circumcision, okay. And Sarah, I just want to let you know, your name's not Sarah anymore, it's Sarah. And you can call me Abraham, father of a multitude. Maybe she started laughing then too, I don't know, but at that point. But I'm saying, he just takes the next step. He can't put it all together, he doesn't know how. But he says, well, if God says it, okay, let's do this. Same day, all of the males of his entire household are circumcised. We'll do this. And he believed going forward again, even though it gets hard and all that. And doesn't that help us? Anyone here never struggle with God's promises? Yeah, please let me know what's your secret, you know? And yet it's like, here's Abraham, and God says, hey, no, it'll be you with her. And you're going to have him. Yeah, and it's like, okay, next step, let's just keep doing this. It makes no sense to me, but God says he'll do it, and Abraham believes God. It doesn't mean he doesn't struggle with it, but okay. And now he's got next year at the set time, right? He's done waiting almost, really. God says, okay, here it is. Put it on your calendar. So, long wait, 24 years. Give or take. So it's very good, and I can so much relate to this. And sometimes I feel like I'm 99. So that kind of ties it too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Abraham. And Lord, especially thank you for how you show us through his life how you work. Lord, you expect us just to walk with you in faith. And Lord, we have a Bible that Abraham never had. So we have way, way more information than Abraham ever had. So we can count on you even more so than Abraham ever could because of all that you have shown yourself to be and recorded in your word. Help us to trust in you. Help us to walk with you every day, even though every day is so daily, every week is so weekly, every month is so monthly, and every year just seems like every other year. Maybe drudgery, hardship, maybe just nothing but just today's stuff was like yesterday. But Lord, help us to do it with a heart of faith and with feet of faith, doing what you say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.